Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
That's Momo.
Momo.
So we are moments away from seeing if we can get her to give us specific names for trade rumors for the Golden State Warriors later on this year.
Let's do it.
Probably not. But we do want to ask her about this. Steve Kerr, last night, why Kuminga has played fewer than 20 minutes in three straight games.
Just read the game, and you know every game's going to be different. So we've got a very deep team. As we know, we're committed to playing 12 guys every night. We just find groups that click, and we stay with them, and JK will be part of a lot of those.
Okay, joining us on the River Islands guest line, none other than Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. Hello, Ramona. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you, bud?
We're doing fantastic out here. We got some football problems, but we're pretty excited about the basketball team.
Yeah. They're better than expected, huh?
Damn right. And we're wondering, though, if it's good enough. And we know that Jonathan Kuminga is obviously at the center of that conversation. So how would you answer this? What does the league think of Jonathan Kuminga?
I think they think he's incredibly talented, and there are a lot of teams that would love to have him in their developmental system, but I'm not sure anybody really wants to commit that giant max contract to him. And so I think the Warriors have some level of leverage because he didn't sign that extension. They do control his playing time. I don't think they're trying to depress the market on him. That's not how they roll. Okay.
Right,
but they
right.
also, they're trying to win basketball games. Right. And I think with JK, like, you know, I just caught the Warriors the other night in L.A., and that was the night they basically lost to the Clippers because of turnovers and free throw shooting, and JK is one of their poor free throw shooters, and he takes a lot of free throws because he always gets to the line. He does drive into the lane a lot, gets fouled a lot. So I think some of that is, clean up your turnovers, shoot better from the free throw line. I would have said at the beginning of this season that in some ways, Pajemski is a little more valuable than him because he's not right in line for that giant extension right now. He's got one more year before they have to pay him. And also his number is lower because he was a lower draft pick. But Pajemski's been in a terrible shooting slump, right? And so, I don't know, it's interesting. Both those guys have just got to earn their minutes. They've got to earn their spot in the rotation. And think about the Warriors, it's kind of fun. I've covered them for a really long time, right? And Steve Kerr always finds these guys like Lindy Waters, he finds these guys who just know how to play basketball. They know where they're supposed to be. It's a read and react game. They make good decisions, and he plays them a lot and at the expense of lottery picks. I mean, it probably drives, the front office or the ownership crazy because they take lottery, they pick these guys really high in the draft. They want them to play, but whatever, he's going to play whoever is running the system the best. And if it sounds like it's going to be Lindy Waters the next little bit while Melton's out and until Pajemski finds his jump shot.
Yeah, no doubt, and he fits in many ways with that starting unit especially. And I want to ask you, Ramona, about the style because you mentioned, Jonathan Kuminga as still a developing player. Is part of the difficulty with he and Golden State that very thing with the style, and he's more of a ball-dominant guy, and he needs to be in a place where he can maybe be more just on the ball and creating on his own.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Warriors never have anyone who is all that ball dominant. The guy who probably touches the ball the most is Draymond. You know, I mean, everything else is just swing, 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 swing. You know, Clay, what was the famous Clay game where he had, you know, 37 points and dribbled 11 times, you know, and that's a lot of why things went badly for Clay the last year was he just over dribbled. You know, there's like Steph will dribble, but he doesn't have it very long. And so that's just not their style of play. You either play with that kind of pace or you don't play very much. And I think everybody there has just got to get that. And JK is an exceptionally talented guy. And I do think that he has taken huge steps. And I still think he's going to be a big contributor for them. But, you know, Wiggs has done better this year. I thought he had one of his best games last night. Yeah. You know, and I thought it was because Lindy Waters took the defensive assignment on Trae Young and Wiggs could just focus more on offense. And he was their leading scorer last night. I mean, I thought, you know, I saw him in LA just really working on his shot and really, you know, trying to get himself into a groove again, like he was a couple of years ago. And he's been good in spurts. And I think he'll have to play a bigger role until they, I keep bringing up Podemski. I don't mean to harp on him, but he's been a guy they were counting on who just really hasn't had a good feel this year. Just second year shooting woes, right? Putting too much pressure on himself, et cetera. And I think with JK, like that job of like second leading scorer next to Steph is wide open. Somebody can grab it. Is it going to be Wiggs? Is it going to be JK? Is it going to be Podemski? I mean, who is it? And I think, you know, they're all kind of vying for it. And that's the way Steve set it up. Like he wants 12 guys to play every night. He wants Steph to play. What's he averaging this year? 32 minutes. That's great.
Yeah, keeping that down and keeping him healthy, yeah. Obviously. Yeah, Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. So, Ramona, without getting into names, and obviously everybody knows J.K. and Podemski are the young assets that were talked about a lot in the offseason, but how would you handicap the current thought of, hey, these Warriors are actually good enough as constructed versus, yeah, hey, they might need to make a move at some point to really be a title contender?
I mean, I do think they probably need to, you know, they probably are one move away from, you know, from the, you know, being seen as a team that could challenge Boston or, I mean, who are we going to say in the West? I would have said Oklahoma City, but I think that Chet Holmgren injury is pretty intense. I mean, there's still Denver, I guess, you know, I mean, you know, they haven't been healthy all year and Jamal Murray's had kind of a down year so far. So I don't know, how do we talk about them? So I think they're probably one big swing away, but or maybe not even a big swing, right? Maybe they just need to find someone to sort of replace what Melton was giving them. But you know, I think my sense is they're not looking for anything really big during the year. Like it doesn't feel like that. Like they tried several big swings in the off season. None of them worked out. They went with this strength in numbers approach that has done very well so far. And I think they really like what they have going. They like this team, you know, like you just being around them, you can tell they have a good feel about what they're doing. And so I would expect more like a replacement for Melton or maybe another big to be in there. You know, I think they like their bigs, but you can never have, you know, too much of that, you know, in the Western Conference when you have to go against Jokic and guys like that.
Does their financial flexibility that they work so hard to create, does it have more power in the offseason than it probably would at the deadline?
Well, the offseason's very interesting, right? I mean, you have a couple superstars on teams that are wildly underachieving right now, you know, and I don't think superstars usually move in the middle of the year, but there's a couple of tire fires around the league right now. I mean, you and I, we could point to them and, you know, with Milwaukee, Philly, et cetera. And then there's always Jimmy Butler who's out there and he wants an extension. And, you know, depending on how much he, you know, how much he works out with the Heat. There's a lot of wings, you know, that are interesting out there, but I don't see anybody moving during the season. It doesn't usually happen that way.
Ramona, what would you say about the Giannis situation as a whole?
Yeah. I don't think anything happens with him during the season. I don't think he asks out. I think they play the season out. I don't think Milwaukee does anything big this season. Because you know, they really haven't, like, last year was a weird year for them. They, like, Giannis and Dame were just hurt all last year. This is the year where they're supposed to figure out whether they can find some chemistry. They've looked pretty good offensively. The last, you know, whether they won three out of four, it's not like a big win streak, but in the Eastern Conference it is. They look pretty good offensively. They still need perimeter defense, but I think in the East this year, like, you know, they if they can kind of get it together enough, I just don't think anything seismic happens with them. A, they have nothing to trade, you know, right now. They don't really have many assets, and while they need help in the perimeter, there's just not that much they can do. And B, like, I don't think you take as big a swing as they did with Dame and not even give it two full years. I don't think they do anything drastic this year.
You mentioned,
and I don't think Giannis would push anything.
Yeah, and that would be a shock if he eventually did. He's been loyal and he's won there, but he's never really given that indication. You mentioned Jimmy Butler before. Yeah. What's the level of intolerance from Miami to Jimmy and Jimmy for Miami at this hour?
I mean, I really believe Jimmy's going to have a great year this year if he's healthy. And I think he's one of those guys that you know he's always going to be in shape. You know he's always going to work hard. He's not going to, you know, blue fluid. He's not going to, you know, lower back tightness it or whatever you want to call it, right? That's not his game. He always just plays hard. And I think Miami wants to keep him. He would like to stay there. I think they eventually work something out. But, and it's also, this is also me saying this based on, like, the fact that I just think the whole NBA, guys, is still figuring out what this new CBA is. And I think people, like, the Warriors are, and this is a word with phrase we use, but they were light years ahead here in the way they treated it, the way they approached it, the way they handled things with Chris Paul and with Klay Thompson and structured their roster. And I think even waiting to pay JK is smart because you want to have that flexibility as long as you can in this era. And so there's just a lot of teams where, I mean, there's so many players, like, let's just name names that you've heard in trade talks, Brandon Ingram or Zach LaVine or all these guys who make max money, but maybe haven't translated into being the, you know, the top player on their team, but they are worth that money. But in this NBA, in this CBA, with the way the rules have changed, it's not so much that people don't want them. It's just, do you want to extend them? Like, and you want to extend them at max money. And what does that do to your cap for years to come? You know, Trae Young in Atlanta, like, these are all interesting situations that those teams are going to have to sort through because of the way the rules have changed.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We're talking with Ramona Shelburne at ESPN. Ramona, one of the things I love about talking to you and others at a high level who are reporting on the league nationally is you seem to have a really good finger on the pulse of how star players are feeling about their situation. So, with the curtain sort of falling, how would you describe how Steph and Draymond are feeling about their situations?
I think they're feeling really good right now. They're positioned well. They know they're in an organization that is that has a lot of assets. I mean, would you rather be on a team like the Warriors that has a lot of good young players, that has a bunch of guys on these sort of mid-level contracts that are easier to trade if you need to, or aggregate salaries that you're not in second apron hell, like, or would you rather be like the Milwaukee Bucks? What can the Bucks do?
Yeah.
The Sixers, I mean, there's not much the Sixers can do. I mean, everyone will want Jared McCain. That's been their best player this year. You can't trade Jared McCain, right? Like, and so I think Steph and Draymond are in about as good a place as you can be. I mean, you know, outside of being able to do, I mean, Oklahoma City is pretty well positioned, right? Of all the teams, but every single contender, and I did a story with Denver, I don't know, a month ago or something at the beginning of the season, because they got off to a rough start, and also they've lost free agents, they've lost guys like Bruce Brown and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, right? and Jeff Green, a lot of the guys from their championship teams, you know, ended up going elsewhere and getting more money, and they've kind of gotten ahead of it by saying, we're going to draft and develop players that we believe can fit our system. And it's a hard one for a guy like Jokic to see all these guys that he's won with and then now replace them with much younger players who are less experienced. But Jokic is like, I'm really happy that I have a chance to win every single year. I understand that there's so many good players in this league that don't ever get that chance. And I think if you're Steph and Draymond and all that, like, they have a chance to win every year, and they're also well positioned to make that needle moving move. But the way they've managed their salary cap, I think you feel a lot better about your situation than a Giannis would, or a Joel Embiid, or whoever else, whatever other team you point to.
The Warriors kind of revolutionized basketball with their love of the three when Steph and Klay were doing their Splash Brothers thing. Are they starting a new revolution in this, we're going to play 11 or we're going to play 12-man rotation?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Asian game?
Maybe. That's a good question. I mean, they've done the strength in numbers thing before, right? But I don't know if they were as committed to it back then. I mean, I just remember it from 2015. That was that first championship year, and they got a lot out of people. And that's a fun game to play, and it works if everybody is really on board and they're all okay in their financial situations and their playing time. Like a good example, like Buddy Hield. Okay, Buddy Hield came out and he was firing and he was shooting threes at an amazing clip, and he was starting, and he was doing great. And now his minutes are like 20 minutes a game, and his stats are cut in half, and he's doing fine, you know. But as long as he's okay with that, then it works great, right? As long as Lindy Waters is okay starting three games in a row, and then maybe not even playing for a few games, then they're okay. But that's where you pay Steve Kerr a lot of money to keep everyone feeling okay about that, because it's, you know. I know why teams do that. I think it's great if you can pull it off. It tends to be hard with guys on 1-year deals or 2-year deals, or people who you know, even just need to get into a rhythm, right? Like you know, one game you're going to play 10 minutes and you stay in and find your shot. Next game maybe you're in for 2 minutes and then you're out. It's kind of hard to play your way into a rhythm. So we'll see how long they keep it up.
Ramona, did you say you're about to go take a nap before going to a game tonight?
Yes.
Okay. So
that's what I do, Mark.
I know.
So I do the show at noon.
Yeah.
And I, you know, get here at 10:30, 11:00. We get hair and makeup, which means, you know, at LA, it takes me an hour and something to get in here.
Sure.
You know, I have two children, so I'm up at 6 something and take them to school. Then I drive downtown. I prep, and then I drive downtown. And then you can't go home in between, right? Because it's too far to drive home in between before the game. And we got to go. I got to be over there about 5:30. So I was like, I got a good hour right now. And like you said, 3:45. And I was like, yeah, one segment, no later. Because I got a car nap with my name on it.
Well, that was going to be my question. You're going to do this in the car. Like my first thought when you said that, I'm like, you have two little kids. How are you napping at 4:00?
Because I have to. Otherwise, I'll get 5 hours of sleep every night.
No.
I gotta get a nap in here.
Right. No, the answer being you're not going home. Like that's what.
There's no way to go home in between.
No.
I finished at like 1:30, 2:00. You can't drive home. That's an hour back in traffic. An hour back home,
and then least.
An hour and a half back downtown. That's not gonna happen.
All right. What's your car nap plan? Is it like what's the recline angle? What's the time length?
Oh, all the way down. All the way down.
Okay.
We got tented. We had some tents. And I put on the white noise, and I set an alarm, and I just go all the way down, and so a lot of times I put like a shirt over my face so like nobody can look in and see me.
I was gonna ask your address.
Yeah,
somebody wanted to come by and take a picture of Ramona Shelburne asleep.
I'm in a parking garage. You know, I find a corner. Nobody coming over here.
It's elite.
Wow.
It's elite.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
The jacket over the face is next level. That's paparazzi proof right there.
I like the white noise machine. I think that's a good move.
It's elite,
glitz and the glamour of the sports media life is really next level, Ramona.
I mean, because I'm going to be here till 11 o'clock tonight. So it's like, you know, this is 15 hours away from home. Like, you gotta catch a nap in here.
And
you know?
The kids in the morning don't care how tired you are. They want breakfast
they're
snuggles
coming
and
6:30, whether I like it or not.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, I got to get up even earlier because we have parent teacher conference tomorrow morning at 7:30.
Oh gosh, I just had those. Those are stressful.
Oh,
all right.
Oh,
well,
he's in kindergarten. What are they going to tell me? He needs to work on his cutting.
Yeah.
I mean, come
he's
on.
Not, he cuts outside the lines too much.
He's using too much blue crayon. Let's mix it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Mix it up. Crayon angle.
Ramona Shelburne drooling in her car live on 95.7 The Game. All right, hey, thank you, Momo. Thank you
good
so
night.
Much. Good night.
Night, night.
Yep.
Well, that's the real night, night.
And
right
drive
there.
Home safely.
Yeah.
There it is. All right. Thank you, Momo.
Yeah.
There she goes. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN.